You're listening to the Exhibitor Report Podcast, episode number 2. I'm your host, Gary Neider. Welcome to today's episode. I'll be talking about trade shows versus consumer shows, the difference, and why it matters. Here's what we'll cover in today's episode. Trade show examples, consumer show examples, what type of companies exhibit, who attends the shows, what it means to you, and what's on the next program. Well, who am I? Let's talk about that real quick. Since this is only the second podcast for the Exhibitor Report. Again, my name's Gary Neidert. Since 1992, I've worked with home improvement companies, helping them to market their businesses in live events, specifically home and garden shows in Texas. I'm a husband, been married for over 22 years, a father. I've got one daughter who is a social media rock star. She works for a major nonprofit association in their social media management, and I am just as proud of her as I can be. She has done a great job as in her career, and she's a wonderful mother and a wonderful wife. And I'm also a grandfather. I've got two grandkids. My grandson is about 4.5 years old. My granddaughter is about 18 months, and they're a handful. Keeps my wife and I very busy and helps keep us pretty active. And also, I'm a podcaster. Some of my hobbies, I love to read about marketing and how to market, techniques and strategies for marketing. Matter of fact, that's my bathroom reading material, as if maybe that's TMI, but that's my thing. I like marketing. I like developing YouTube videos. Honda Trail 90, I've got a Honda Trail 90 that I'm in the process of trying to fix it up. This was my dad's motorcycle that sat in his garage for about 25 years with a tank full of gas, and it was never run the whole time it sat there for 25 years. So I'm trying to get that back up and going just to play with that. So it kind of gives you an idea of me personally. My background when I was in college, I really enjoyed getting junk mail or direct mail. That was that marketing thing coming out very early on. Since then, I've been a student of direct response marketing, and you can do direct response marketing in a multitude of ways. Of course, with mail outs, with radio, TV, the internet, all kinds of things like that. Home and garden shows is a form of direct response marketing. Applied marketing principles to selling exhibit space for the shows, as well as working with my clients as they exhibit in home and garden shows, helping them to apply marketing principles to their business. Why am I doing this podcast? I want to be able to inspire, inform, teach, and entertain. As far as the inspire goes, I want to be able to encourage you to go beyond your comfort zone and achieve more success. As far as inform, I want to give you ideas and tips in marketing and live events and general marketing tips. Teach. Want to be able to teach what I've learned with the marketing and exhibiting, things that will help you grow in your business. Entertain. Sometimes my bad jokes will come out. My daughter calls them Garyisms. So maybe you'll get to have some of the Garyisms come along. But that's a little bit about me. Let's get on with talking about trade shows versus consumer shows. Trade shows. We'll start off with that first. I have some clients that will call the home and garden shows trade shows, and they're not. They're consumer shows. And the difference is trade shows are closed to the public. Anybody from off the street cannot walk into a trade show. Only people that's, quote, in the trade are allowed to come into the show. The general public can't get in there. Most shows are very, very strict. Some shows will allow one day that's open to the public. And I'll give you some examples of trade shows. There's the International Builder Show. People that exhibit there are manufacturers and suppliers of building materials as well as services used in home building. Panasonic is a good example as a large manufacturer. Portland Cement Association, Sherwin-Williams, the paint company. Who attends the shows? Who attends trade shows? The International Builder Shows, it's home builders, home remodelers, and people that are connected in that side of the business. The people that would attend these shows are companies that sell to the public, that would sell to the homeowner, that would sell their products and services to homeowners. So this goes up the food chain to the manufacturers and the wholesale supplier of services. Why do they attend? This is an opportunity in a trade show to see some of the latest trends in products and services in the home building industry. And now we're talking about the International Builder Show right now. And there was one this year, back towards the first of the year. I think it was in March, something like that. It's a huge show. At one time, when the economy was really rocking, it was a huge show. Matter of fact, it was held in Dallas for a couple of years at the Dallas Convention Center. Even then, as big as they had the everything was taken in all the exhibit halls, all the breakout rooms. They even had to use the second floor or the second level parking garage for exhibit space. So it was a huge show. Even at that, there wasn't enough room to be able to contain everything. There was a guy that came, the president at that time of that association, came on TV and said that they're not going to be able to come back to Dallas because they need more space, and Dallas just did not have it. So they've gone back and forth between, I think it's Orlando and also Las Vegas. And recently, the International Builder Show combined with a Kitchen and Bath Expo, which made it went back to the size that it used to be back before the financial downturn of 2008. So that kind of gives you an idea of the International Builder Show. Another trade show example, World of Concrete. This is the only annual event dedicated to the commercial concrete industry. Who attends? Concrete contractors, all types of companies that work with concrete. That could be structural, in other words, foundations for residential work, commercial work. That could be people that do highway work with concrete, people that treat concrete. I had a client one time that she she did several different things in the concrete industry. She started off doing curbing, she and her husband, the concrete curbing, decorative curbing. Then they got into staining concrete. Then they got into training other people how to stain concrete. Then they got into concrete countertops, and they also taught people how to do concrete countertops. They would go to World of Concrete to display what they did for the training part of their business. Later on, she went to work for and helped develop a wholesale distributor for the products used in the staining industry. They also, when she had that, she also went to World of Concrete. Why was she there? She was trying to reach the people that would deal directly to the end user. Okay, another good example, and this is probably my favorite one. It's SEMA, Specialty Equipment Market Association. And I'm going to read you a quote directly from their website. They're real strict about not letting anyone outside the industry into their show. Here's what was on their website. The SEMA show is the premier automotive specialty products trade event in the world. Please note, the SEMA show is not open to the general public. they're serious about this. Anyway, the SEMA show is really, really cool. The hot rodder's dream would be to go into the SEMA show because the companies that exhibit in this show, it's all kinds of aftermarket automotive products, whether it be high performance parts for your motor, for your transmission, for your suspension, paint, anything that has to do with a car in terms of aftermarket products or services will be at this show. So who would attend this show, the SEMA show? It would be like your automotive repair shops or the guys that are doing aftermarket work on a car. The best example I could probably give you was, I don't remember the name of the show, but his shop is called Gas Monkey Garage. And he's got a restaurant here in Dallas also called Gas Monkey. But this guy comes in and he'll find an old car, he'll fix it up and put a new motor in it or whatever. He'll hot rod it, do all kinds of cool stuff to it, all kinds of different cars like that. This guy would go to the SEMA show to find the new products and the new services available to the automotive market. He would in turn come back to his shop in Dallas and sell to his retail customer, which would be you or I. More likely you. I don't know that I would be able to spend the kind of money that he charges on his cars, but he produces some really fantastic looking cars, really cool stuff. But those kinds of shops, and the reason that people come to the SEMA show, again, they see the latest trends in products and services in that industry. They come in there to see, to network. They come in there for education. They have a tremendous educational program with the SEMA Association. I mean, it is awesome. And they've got all kinds of cool stuff there. Now, with the SEMA show, even though it's closed to the public, it's closed real tight, as I've said before, they have one day whenever the show does the loadout. I think they even have bleachers where people can come and sit in the bleachers and watch the different vehicles that were displayed in the show come out as they're loading out of the show. And it would be, that would be an awesome sight to see, because there are some awesome cars, trucks, all kinds of vehicles that are displayed in the SEMA show. And I've asked around to see if there's a way that anybody could get me into the SEMA show, and so far, no. So if you have a connection somehow to get me in the SEMA show, well, I'll be your best friend. Yeah. So that's kind of one of my bucket list things, but I love going and seeing all the car stuff. So that's one more trade show that I want to talk about. CES, or the Consumer Electronics Show. This is held in Las Vegas, and it's a place where all the manufacturers can come and show what the latest, the greatest, and the newest product or service that's coming to the market for the retailers to see. Anywhere from the people at Best Buy all the way down to the small local electronics shop, or the guy that installs stereos in your car, can come and see and buy, stock up, and get ready for the coming season for their business. I mean, the manufacturers, you name it, and they'll be there. Panasonic, Hitachi, and all kinds of stuff. This is where they previewed the 4K TV. They previewed all the new computer stuff, and they all kinds of stuff like that. This is Geek Fest. Geek Fest. So, again, it's a closed show. I mean, you'll see reporters in there, and they'll report back to their news organizations what they found in there. You know, you'll see, well, like Channel 4 here in Dallas, their guy Steve Noviello, he reported from CES and showed some of the newest and latest and greatest products that were coming to market. And it was really cool. So there you have it. That's just a very short list of trade shows. And just to kind of recap and sum it up on the trade shows, they're closed to the public. Only people in the trade are allowed to go in. Most shows are very, very strict, like we talked about with the SEMA show. And some shows will allow a one day, will allow one day that's open to the public. And the purpose for a trade show is the latest in trends in products and services, education, and networking. All right, let's talk about consumer shows. Some of the consumer show examples that I have. Of course, I can't not say do this without mentioning the Dallas Home and Garden Show and the Fort Worth Home and Garden Show. They are consumer shows. They're open to the public. Anybody and everybody is welcome to the show. We do charge admission. There are some home shows that don't charge admission to get into the show. Our personal philosophy is that when you charge to get for attendees to come into the show, that pre-qualifies them, and they're not just coming in there to wander around, look around, and just goof off and not really serious about buying something. There are some health shows, health-related shows that in this particular area were they did not charge admission to get in. The people that came to the show were not qualified to necessarily purchase the products and services in the shows. Now, we're talking about business here. The whole reason to do an event, whether it's a trade show or whether it's a consumer show, is to sell your products and your services to the attendees. You have to go where people are interested in what you sell, and they also have to be able to afford to buy what you sell. So we have to look at those things, not in a judgmental way, but we have to look at those things. Who's coming into the show? Is that your ideal prospect? Anyway, Dallas Home and Garden Show, Fort Worth Home and Garden Show, the Dallas Boat Show. Twice a year, we have the Dallas Boat Show in January, and then there's one in the summer. Matter of fact, we just got through with the Summer Boat Show not long ago at the time of this recording. RV shows. We have two RV shows a year. That's at Dallas Market Hall. There's an RV show in Fort Worth. There are RV shows all over the country. There's a huge one in Florida. I don't remember the city, but there's one that's huge in somewhere in Florida. Comic-Con. This is a show that I wished that we could have got in on in the early days. The show is all about comic books, the characters in the comic books, the paraphernalia that goes with selling, that goes with comic books, costumes, bobblehead dolls, anything that you could imagine that would be a peripheral product is Comic-Con. There was a Comic-Con in California last week, I believe it was. And I saw some pictures on the internet, and there are people there just dressed in regular street clothes that are they're rabid fans of the comic books, whatever it might be, Batman, Superman, some of the indie comic books, whatever you can imagine, they're rabid fans. So here are these guys that are dressed in just regular street clothes, you know, t-shirt, blue jeans, no big deal. Then the real fans of Comic-Con, they will dress as the characters in the comic books or the characters of the movies, of a movie that has been developed from a comic book. This last Comic-Con, it showed they were debuting Star Wars, the next new Star Wars movie. And there was all kinds of people dressed up as Star Wars characters. There was Boba Fett. I mean, there was the Stormtroopers. There was Darth Vader. There was one Darth Vader who was all painted pink. All kinds of stuff. Princess Leia. There were people that were dressed as Princess Leia. As well as Superman, Batman, some characters I've never heard of before. But these are people that they really get into it. It is an experience just to go to Comic-Con. Matter of fact, there's a Comic-Con that takes place here in the Dallas area once a year. And I was going to try to go to it, but just wasn't able to make it. But it would be I think it would be an experience all in itself just to go to one of those shows. So motorcycle shows. A few years ago, there was a motorcycle show at the Fort Worth Convention Center. First time that I had been to one, and it was a consumer show. Anybody and everybody could come as long as they're willing to pay the admission fee to get into the show. All kinds of all the major manufacturers were there represented through dealerships. You could buy clothing, accessories for your motorcycles, all kinds of stuff. And there were new motorcycles there. There were vintage motorcycles. American Chopper, the TV series American Chopper, there was one of their motorcycles displayed there. And it was kind of cool to be able to see that in person. The one, oddly enough, that stands out in my mind was a vintage Honda. And I don't remember if it was a 250 or a Honda 160. That was it was a street bike that was totally restored. Now, as I remember, all the 160s or 250s that I remember had a black frame. This one had a red frame with a silver gas tank. It was pristine. Whoever restored it did a fantastic job. And this was part of a giveaway. And, of course, I signed up. You know, yeah, I'd love to have this. Obviously, I didn't win it. There's all kinds of different things that you can see in the motorcycle consumer show. One of the things that really blew me away, whenever I first got to the show, I had to park in the parking. It was a multi-level parking garage across the street from the Fort Worth Convention Center. I'm on like level 2 or 3, and I look out at the building, and on the very south end of the building, there's a space in between the building and the water garden area, which is big enough to get, I saw a bunch of helicopters parked out there one time. So you could get 3, maybe 4 helicopters deep in between the building and the water gardens. When I looked over and saw all the motorcycles that were parked there, I was blown away because it was totally full of motorcycles. Cool. Very cool. So this was a very, very popular show. Very popular show. Again, a good example of a consumer show. The next one I want to talk about is a surprising one, but, you know, if you find the right niche to sell a product or service in, you can make a lot of money in it. It's a quilting show. There was one year that I think it was one of our, no, it wasn't one of our fall shows. It was one of our spring shows at Dallas Market Hall. I was doing loadout, and they were, as we were doing loadout, we had to be out of there real quick because the quilting show was coming in right behind us. So I got to see how they did their setup. People from all over the country would attend this show to learn how to quilt, to buy the quilting supplies, accessories. They were there for education. They were there for networking. And these are some big, big fans. They're the rabid fans of quilting that attended this show. Let's talk about craft shows. Craft shows, I don't know that they're as popular now as what they were years ago, but craft shows are another example of a consumer show where anybody and everybody can attend the show. That's where people sell their whatever items they have, old antique stuff. Antique shows, another good example. Matter of fact, our fall show that's coming up for 2015 in Dallas, there will be an antique show in North Hall of Market Hall while we have Main Hall. And we'll allow people to go back and forth between the two shows. This was the same way in the spring show, which was pretty cool. So antique shows are another form of consumer shows. Outdoor festivals. Outdoor festivals, a good example here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, is Grape Fest. There's all kinds of fun things to do outside. It's all centered around grapes and winemaking and wine tasting and all those kinds of things. I've got a number of exhibitors that exhibit in the show just because there are people that attend that show that's the right demographics for their business. And so they're able to get some business out of it. And the last one I want to talk about is the State Fair of Texas. This is a four-weekend event. This is a four-weekend event that takes place in Dallas, Texas. And you're probably familiar with it. But for those who are not, there is all kinds of stuff there, all kinds of entertainment, outdoor entertainment, indoor entertainment, people selling stuff. I've got exhibitors that exhibit in the State Fair of Texas every year. They're adamant about being a part of that show. One of our clients for the shows, not my client personally, but he does the shows every time, every year. They sell portable buildings and hot tubs. It was a huge shot in their arm in terms of attendance. I mean, in terms of profit for the year because of all the people that attend the State Fair. It's a consumer show. You know, it's an outdoor festival. So there we have it, the consumer shows. Let's go over this again. Just to sum it up, anyone can attend a consumer show. Sometimes it's a paid attendance, sometimes it's free, but anyone can attend a consumer show. They usually target the consumer of what the show features. What we do is home and garden shows. Our target audience is homeowners that are wanting to improve their homes, and they need to be able to talk to the companies that provide a product or service that improves the home. So our attendees come to see our exhibitors to do business with them. This is a kind of a little side note, but to give you an idea of the amount of revenue that's generated through a home and garden show, there was a report done, a study done at one of the shows in Denver, Home and Garden Show, to find out the impact on the local economy of how much business was generated through one home and garden show. And if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I've seen the report. I tried to find it again on the internet. I couldn't find it. But if I remember correctly, it was like $25 million of business generated from one show for the local economy. So what does that mean to the individual exhibitor? There are exhibitors that they will generate anywhere from $10,000, $50,000, some of them $100,000 worth of business off of one show. It's in a home and garden show. I don't know what the results would be like for some of these other shows, except for the State Fair of Texas, giving you the example of the guy that sells portable buildings and hot tubs. They did like $1 million worth of business for 4 weeks of work at the State Fair of Texas. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. That's a big shot in the arm. That gives you an idea of what we're talking about with the consumer shows. Just like trade shows, consumer shows, they're also a place to network. It's a place for the exhibitors to network with one another, as well as being able to talk to the attendees. So it's a great place to be. Consumer shows are cool. It's hard to find much information about how to exhibit in a consumer show because people tend to lump them all together. But yet, a consumer show is not like a trade show. There's similarities, but they're not the same. So there you have it. Trade show versus consumer show and why it matters. Now, what I'll cover in some of the future episodes, I'll be doing some interviews with experts to find out some of their exhibiting tips, some of their business insights, find out some of the business tools they use, some insights on how to effectively market their business, just some insider secrets from some of these people. I've got clients that they've weathered the storm of the financial downturn. Some of them kind of bruised and bloody, but they're still doing business. So these are the kind of guys that I want to talk with to find out how they made it, how they did it. And hopefully that will help you get some ideas of what you can do for your business. Some of the future topics I want to talk about: active versus passive marketing. This is going to be a fun one. This will be fun. Principles of live event marketing, and it's not rocket science. Effective lead generation in a live event. Beware of the shiny object. Beware of big promises, especially from a new show or a new business. Confessions of a seasoned exhibitor, and this will be part of the interviews that we do. Why exhibit in home and garden shows? Follow-up after an event. This is going to be a very, very important topic because this is a common problem not only in trade shows but in consumer shows as well. I've seen people that exhibit in the shows. They get a lot of leads, but they fail to follow up on them. That's the whole purpose of going to the shows, is to set up appointments and get leads. Follow up on them. And then stack the deck in your favor, marketing your business in live events. And of course, there'll be other topics that come up along the way, but that just gives you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. For the next episode, it's going to be active versus passive marketing. And what we do with the home and garden shows, when people exhibit in the show, they market their business to the homeowners that attend. They're doing a live direct response marketing. So that's active marketing. I'm giving you a teaser here. Passive marketing is just writing a check and sending it to somebody to send to do something on radio, TV, internet, or print, hoping that somebody will call off the response of that. That can be direct response marketing, or that can just be advertising that doesn't do anything. So I'm looking forward to the next episode to share that with you. Be sure that you check back and listen to this one. Now, in the future, before too long, I'm going to have a Facebook fan page. And if you would, once this is live, I'll let you know. But if you would, make sure that you go and like the Facebook fan page for the Exhibitor Report podcast or the exhibitorreport.com. Also, we'll be on iTunes in the near future. And also, again, if you'll go to iTunes and like us or do whatever it is that iTunes requires to show that you like the program, if you would do that, I would greatly appreciate it. Well, I want to thank you for listening today. I've enjoyed doing this one where we talked about trade shows versus consumer shows. Hopefully you got some good information out of this. I'm Gary Neidert, and you've just experienced the Exhibitor Report.